JM in the AM. Good morning. Welcome to a Tuesday. Touro University always provides special guests for us here at JM in the AM. And today, we get to discuss a topic from a couple of different angles. We have both Dr. Lauren Levy of the Touro College of Dental Medicine, a noted expert in orofacial pain. And of course, we'll ask in a moment what that is and get into that topic. And Dr. Levy, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thanks for having me.
And Dr. David Katz is with us, Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs, Director of Halachic Dentistry. Did we even know that there was such a thing as halachic dentistry? It's pretty cool. An associate professor at the Touro College of Dental Medicine. Rabbi Dr. Katz, a pleasure to welcome you as well.
Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. All right, Dr. Levy, we'll kick things off with you because I, and I'm sure many people in this audience, want to know, what is orofacial pain? What is it and how many people suffer from it?
So orofacial pain is a relatively new specialty of dentistry. A lot of dentists were practicing it, but it was recognized in 2020 as a 12th dental specialty. It encompasses basically head and neck pain management. So it's the diagnosis and management of pain disorders that affect the jaw, the mouth, the face, the head, the neck. And it affects about a quarter of the population or maybe a little less in people.
And why is it under the umbrella of dental medicine? I would think that head, neck, and maybe even facial and mouth pain could be a variety of sources. You know, symptoms can come from a variety of places. Why does this all somehow get associated with dental medicine?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of, but not all of what we do is called temporomandibular joint disorders, what people commonly call TMJ.
Right.
And initially that was kind of like an orphan disease in the sense that, you know, nobody really wanted to treat it. And for a while, people didn't really understand it. They thought maybe it was related to bite changes. Then there was actually an ENT who found that if you put cork in between your teeth, that it made patients feel better. And that's when dentists started making dental devices, mouth guards. So then dentists say, oh, we can make mouth guards. That can make patients feel better. But then we found out that temporomandibular joint disorders is so much more complicated than just giving someone a mouth guard and telling them to go home, because it's associated with migraine headaches. Because then there are other conditions, like maybe a patient comes in with a toothache and that toothache is not really dental in nature. And this field kind of just grew.
Yeah, well, now that makes a lot more sense to us, the average person who wonders about that. I would assume you've seen some very severe TMJ problems over the years. Those in our audience who think that a little clicking or questioning whether they should have that toasted bagel or not is their biggest problem, you probably have seen cases where people literally can't open and close their mouth properly.
Yeah.
I can only
we see that a lot.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that's like for the patient. By the way, does any of this include the headaches, the migraines, the cluster headaches and things like that? Even, I don't know, sinuses, post-nasal drip, like does it extend to that whole area, or it's basically the associations with the symptoms and areas that you described?
So it's interesting. Primary headache disorders, which migraine falls into that category and so does cluster, is also under that umbrella. Wow. I mean, there is a kind of like a fine line depending on, you know, the source of or kind of like where the headache is affecting the patient. But yes, primary headache disorders are falling under that. And speaking of sinus, I mean, we're not treating post-nasal drip, but 90% of self-diagnosed sinus headaches are actually misdiagnosed and really are migraine. So if patients are coming in with a chronic facial pain and they've, you know, had multiple antibiotics and multiple rounds of steroids and maybe they even had sinus surgery and the pain is still not gone, or, you know, the sinus quote unquote infection has not gone away, then it's now kind of accepted that we should, you know, rethink the diagnosis and say, oh, maybe that's actually migraine.
Wow. The head and the mouth is one complicated mechanism, huh?
to say
the least, I'll tell you. God created a very complicated mechanism. Dr. Lauren Levy's with us, one of our two guests. She's from the Touro College of Dental Medicine, noted expert in orofacial pain. All right, so in preparation for this conversation, we were told that there is a connection between orofacial pain and one of the most common things, not just in our community, but I think in this country, maybe the world, and that's sleep apnea. What can you tell us about what we may learn from pain in the face and mouth and the condition we know as sleep apnea?
Yeah, there is an intimate relationship between sleep and pain. About a third of patients with temporomandibular joint disorders will complain that they have some sort of poor sleep quality or that they don't sleep well through the night. And in general, patients, about 50 to 90% of patients in chronic pain, not just in, you know, facial pain, will complain of poor sleep. So we don't totally understand, you know, what it is, chicken or the egg, but we do know that the neurotransmitters that are involved in sleep and pain, they overlap. And so we think that, you know, maybe deficiencies in one can cause a problem with both. And just to kind of, you know, think about sleep apnea a little bit, with sleep apnea, you don't really get restorative sleep because you can't really get into deep sleep. Right. And so it's very hard to recover and feel better, right, if you don't get that restorative sleep.
Yeah, it's why a lot of people with sleep apnea, frankly, you know, fall asleep driving and other, you know, habitual type of situations, could doze off anywhere, frankly. It could be very, very dangerous. Are there options besides CPAP machines? I mean, CPAP machines have got to be the most common way of handling sleep apnea. I mean, this whole industry is I think, built on it. Are there other things that a dentist or an oral expert can recommend aside from that?
Yeah, there's a lot of options. I mean, what we do commonly is we make what's called a mandibular advancement device. It's a mouth guard that you wear in the upper and the lower arch, so like the, you know, top jaw and lower jaw. It prevents your jaw from falling back, and by preventing the jaw from falling back, because the tongue is connected to the jaw, right, the tongue doesn't fall back either. But also weight loss is an option. There are a few different types of surgeries that are options. And also, you know, sometimes just sleeping on your side versus on your back, depending on the severity of the apnea, can help as well.
Dr. Lauren Levy is with us. Dr. David Katz, or by Dr. David Katz, is Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs and Director of Halachic Dentistry at Touro College of Dental Medicine. We'll get to Rabbi Katz in just a moment. There are halachic issues, believe it or not, in this whole topic. But first, Dr. Levy, the types of conditions, experiences that you've described, I mean, these are things that today's dental students, specifically at Touro Dental, of course, are studying, are being briefed on, are being lectured on. And I'm assuming that part of the whole dental school reality is that there's so much change in the industry, there's so much advancement on a regular basis, that literally students have to be kept up to date. Is that one of the challenges when you're in a leadership position at a dental school like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the exciting parts also of my job, is that the field is constantly evolving and changing. And I think that the students feel that too, in a good way. I mean, it makes it definitely challenging, but they're excited to learn about new things. And I teach a course with Dr. Asher Mansorf, who is also a board certified orofacial pain specialist. And we're constantly updating the material and changing how we teach to make sure that we include everything so that they're graduating, you know, with the latest cutting edge research and education.
And for those of us who visit dental offices once in a while, it's obvious that the machinery, the technology, that whole area just evolves constantly. And there's it seems like there's always some new way to examine the mouth. And I'm sure that the students today have no choice but to become experts at those.
Yeah. The school is very much digital. I mean, they learn how to do digital scanning very early on. So meaning, instead of doing those old school goopy impressions, now they're using this really cool scanner that they use on every single tooth. And, you know, patients really like it, and they get to see their mouth. And we're also digitally printing some appliances, which is really cool. So you can even make it in the same day. I mean, it does take us time, but hypothetically, you can make it same day. So, yeah, it's really cool.
Unbelievable. All right, Dr. David Katz is with us as well, of course. course, and we get to discuss some of the halachic issues. First of all, Rabbi Katz, it's you know, it's not the first thing we think of when we think of, you know, medical halachic issues. We think of, you know, dental situations. But as I'm sitting here, I'm saying to myself, there must be some dental emergencies that occur on Shabbos that one, you know, might say to themselves, this is not something we would normally take care of on Shabbos, but, you know, because of what's involved in terms of repairing something, but it's serious enough to actually undertake it on Shabbos. Am I right that there are those types of situations, actual dental emergencies that need immediate attention?
There are, Nachum. You're going into a subject that is an entire lecture unto itself, but... Wow. Halacha categorizes illnesses and the potential care of those illnesses on Shabbos in different categories. But the bottom line to your question is that until you determine exactly what the problem is, you're halachically allowed to do anything and everything to determine what the problem is.
Yeah.
Once you've determined what that problem is, then you can put the ill person into different categories and then treat accordingly. So yes, there are aspects of dentistry that you would definitely be docha on the Shabbos and treat the patient. Anything where if there was an infection that would involve things of that nature, we put them into a category called stafek pikuach nefesh, and we would definitely be treating them. But remember, if it's just a chipped tooth, and we say, you know, please come back after hours, after, you know, we don't say after Shabbos. If it's a person that's a non-Jew, we tell them to come back on Sunday or Monday and take care of it. But we evaluate the problem, and until we've determined what it is, everybody is becheskas in the category of safek pikuach nefesh.
Yeah, I sit here with my mouth open, pun intended, because until this conversation, it never dawned on me that there actually could be pikuach nefesh, life-threatening situations, or as you described, you know, down-the-road threatening situations that really need to be addressed immediately. Now, the one you pointed out was the infections, and I guess that would be the most common in terms of stuff that has to be addressed immediately, because God forbid an infection in the mouth spreads to other parts of the body, including other areas of the face and head. You're dealing with a really, really serious problem, and certainly the possibility of a life-threatening situation. So I'm assuming that would be the most common situation where intervention is needed immediately, correct?
Those are the those two are really the common fears.
Right.
Spreading to the brain from upper teeth, something called a cavitous sinus thrombosis, something that will go to the heart, where it causes an infection of the heart. Those are the things that we're most fearful of. And also the categorization of what safek pikuach nefesh, what is life-threatening halachically, is a different dimension of what we would legally in a secular world declare as what is life-threatening. As long as it has the potential to cause damage,
right,
and loss of life, that's already in Becheskat Safek Pikuach Nefesh. It's already in the category of that nature.
Rabbi Dr. David Katz is with us. All right, so people, I'm sure, ask you all the time and probably ask their local rabbis when they do have a sleep apnea problem and they need to use, according to the doctor, that might actually be also life and death. I don't know. You'll tell us in a moment. But I could see sleep apnea situations being life and death. So they ask you, can the, you know, the CPAP machine be used on Shabbos? Can it be adjusted on Shabbos, et cetera, et cetera? And there are other appliances as well. So is there a general answer, or must you see each individual patient's situation before determining if a CPAP machine can be used on Shabbos?
I'm going to make this very simple, but if you want me to break it down, I will gladly break it down. That the bottom line is, it's preferable to turn on the CPAP machine before Shabbos, and or to set a timer if it's possible.
Right.
And if you can't change any, I mean, if there's a problem with knobs and whatnot, in a difficult situation, you may turn and move the knobs if it's possible in an unusual way.
Right.
And if necessary and you can't do that, the machine is activated just by putting the machine directly on your face, you're allowed to do so. There have been quite a number of halachic responsa on this issue. And there are many, many aspects that to take into consideration. Is it something that that you need to do Can you skip a Shabbos? And most authorities have ruled that this is something that's a cumulative problem. So in other words, can you say, I'll skip this one Shabbos? If you skip one Shabbos, yeah, it's not a problem. But if you skip every Shabbos, that means it's 1/7 of right. the use and the of the machine. Yeah. So that's already b'cheskas sofik pikuach nefesh. That puts you into a totally different category.
Wow.
So if you're traveling and you don't want to bring the machine, that's okay. Then you can wear the dental appliance if someone really has some difficulty. But if it really is a situation where you're supposed to be wearing it on a regular basis, then yes, most halakhic authorities allow it. There are different aspects of leniency that on which we were so mechon, but you're absolutely allowed to use it if it's been declared by a doctor to be necessary.
And in the dental device arena, is there any Shabbos halachic problem?
No, for the dental appliance, actually, it's very, very easy to do. If one is in the low-level category, which Dr. Levy has not really gone into, if someone is at the lower level of the spectrum of needs based on sleep apnea and you don't need a CPAP machine, but you can wear a dental appliance, then by all means, it's really not an issue. And wearing it on Shabbos, it doesn't involve anything except putting it into your mouth.
Right, so I figured. So the only halachic...
Most people would hold there's no issue, right?
Right, the only halachic question then is an actual machine that works on electricity, obviously, and what to do, as you just described,
correct.
And how to do that. Wow, unbelievable. By the way, is Turo the only dental school in the world with a halachic dentistry director?
Yes, there is.
There's nobody else who has one, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there are a tremendous number of halachic questions that come up regarding the dental medicine.
Wow.
And we decided that this was something we have regular classes. We have regular shiurim that are given on an ongoing basis.
So
I have one coming next month on kashering devices before Pesach.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk
things
about
that. Nature.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that before Pesach here on the air, please God. I never even thought of that either, that, you know, that's a concern that people have to address before the holiday. Unbelievable. Rabbi Dr. David Katz, Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs, Director of Halachic Dentistry and Associate Professor at Touro College of Dental Medicine, Dr. Lauren Levy, Touro College Dental Medicine, noted expert in orofacial pain. Dr. Levy, anything else you'd like to add to all of this?
No, I mean, I guess if patients are, you know, they're feeling tired or they're falling asleep at the wheel, like you were saying, it's important for them to speak to their primary care doctor or their sleep doctor about, you know, maybe getting screened for obstructive sleep apnea because a lot of people don't know they have it.
Yeah,
but
no
otherwise,
question.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
Oh, a pleasure to speak to both of you. Dr. Lauren Levy or by Dr. David Katz. Information about all of this, obviously, go to the Touro University website. We have never really explored their dental program and their dental school, but we have learned that they are at the cutting edge of the industry. That's one thing we learned today, and that they have the only director of halachic dentistry of any university in the entire world, which is unbelievably remarkable. Again, Touro University website for information. If you know a youngster in your family or community who wants to pursue these specialties, they have a golden opportunity at Touro. More coming up. It's Tuesday at JM in the AM.